the House Revenue Committee and welcome everybody in attendance. Just a couple of notes before we begin. Representative Beck is in Portland, unable to attend today. Representative Witt is just out of state or in an altered state? Out of state. Representative Witt is out of state. And the other thing that Kim asked me to announce, please, if you have cell phones, pagers, beepers, anything that will make a sound during the meeting, please turn it off. Those are distracting to us and to witnesses as they're testifying. So thank you for those things. And with that, Paul, do you want to bring us up to our agenda?
Okay. Mr. Chair, we had originally planned to have the meeting next Thursday, the 28th, which would be fit with a normal forecast release schedule. But given the extraordinary events we have now with the governor calling a special session on Monday and requiring you to come in and work to rebalance the budget, Tom has agreed to release the forecast a little early and come over and talk with us about the results of the March revenue forecast.
All right. Tom. Tom, I want you to know the judges will be scoring you on technical merit, presentation, and how you make us feel.
I'll do okay on the first one.
Okay.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Tom Petowski, the state economist with the Office of Economic Analysis. I've been asked today, both by the governor and by the legislative revenue officer, to deliver an early report on the March 2002 economic and revenue forecast. Given the severity of the budget shortfall and the timing of this second special session, it's important that you have these revenue forecasts. To that end, my presentation today will be short and to the point. The details underlying the forecast will be presented in our publication that's going to be released on February 28th, next Thursday. To that, you have in front of you a handout called Preliminary Summary, February 22nd, 2002. And if you turn to the first page, that starts off with our general fund and lottery resources based on our new March 2002 forecast. Just a quick couple of words about the economy, and the economy is what really drives our revenue numbers. What we've seen since our December forecast, our view of the economy is that Oregon is a little bit deeper into a recession than we first expected, and the recovery is going to be slightly shorter. I shouldn't say shorter, slightly softer than what we were looking at. We still think the timing's about the same. We still think sometime at the end of the second quarter, we're going to bottom out, and then in the second half of this year, we'll start to see some improvement and not really see some good economic growth until we get into the year 2003. But given that, it's a slightly softer forecast than what we were reflecting in December. With that, going to the general fund, the top graph, we have on the top line here showing the beginning balance. We've increased that beginning balance by $4.2 million. That is related to revisions that have occurred in expenditures that were finishing up the 9901 biennium. Once we had those revisions in hand, we adjusted what that ending balance from that biennium would be, thus that adjusts our beginning balance here. And so we've added $4.2 million from our December forecast. Personal income tax is estimated in our March forecast to be $8.854 billion. That is a drop of $115.2 million from our December forecast. Related to the close of session forecast, it's down $590.8 million. Once again, this is related to what we've seen in terms of our economic forecast. Revisions by the Bureau of Economic Analysis on personal income measures for Oregon, and that has softened these numbers down a little bit. Corporate income tax, March estimate is at $635.3 million. We've lowered our December forecast then by 4.8%, and that's $32.3 million. I think this is definitely an indication of the severity of the recession, especially hitting manufacturing and other businesses, or it's a reflection that they're all using Arthur Anderson and not paying any tax. But I think it is the economy. Other revenues, pretty much no change. We have some offsetting accounts there, only down by $200,000, so pretty much exactly what we were looking at in December 14th. That brings the total general fund resources to $10.604 billion. That is a lowering of $143.6 million from the December forecast. That is then down $863.7 million based on the close of session. If you look down at the ending balance and you look at the March column, at the very end there, you'll see $767.3 million. That is essentially the amount that would be needed to balance this revenue shortfall and not leaving any positive ending balance at all. The 863.7 would include leaving a positive ending balance of 96.4 million. Our lottery outlook, if we take a look at the second line of transfers and other revenues, those have been increased by $30.6 million, so they now stand at $720.2 million. You add in the beginning balance, and we have total lottery resources of $726.6 million, an increase of 30.6 above the December forecast. If we keep with the dedicated allocations, that leaves a ending balance of $31.3 million. I might add that shortly after our December forecast, lottery had been mentioning that there were some additional revenues available. I believe that you've taken those into account. This number simply reflects those numbers that you've already heard. These are not in addition to those numbers. With that, looking further on to the next page, through the further bienniums, with the softer economy, and we project that out, and our forecast does have the economy recovering in the second half of this year and with a full recovery in 2003. It's just at a little softer level than what we were looking at in December. That translates into the 03-05 and 05-07 with lower forecasts for general fund resources. Down below in lottery, we're forecasting out a little bit stronger, not by much, in 03-05 and 05-07 due to some strength that we see continuing, especially in the video lottery amounts. The last page on page 3 shows the biennial growth of general fund revenue. This is the graph we've shown many times, our black and white graph, where we look at what actual collections show, and then if you would adjust those for items that aren't really economically cyclically related, like the kicker and the pension adjustment collections. But you can see that in 01-03, over the biennium period, actual collections only at 1.2%, a very, very low amount. But if we even adjust that for the kicker and pension adjustments, based on economic cycles, it's still only a 2.9% increase. Likewise, 05-03, we have a jump up at 16.9. That's a lot of that is related because we've knocked down 01-03 because, in this case, mostly the kicker payment. And then we're projecting out more along a sort of a long-run average for the budget changes around 14% in the 05-07. And that is the... in a nutshell, the numbers. For the
all right.
Side.
Thank you, Tom. Questions? Oh, I have one. Oh, I'm sorry.
We have the score here, too, Mr.
5.6. That's down from the March forecast. Representative Brown.
Yeah, Tom, when you say the recovery in this year, you mean this calendar year, in the second half of this calendar year?
Mr. Chair, Representative Brown, yes, in the second half of this calendar year.
And then... the next calendar year being positive.
Yes. Well, we're looking at a fairly slow growth in the second half. we I believe, get to close to 2% in the fourth quarter for employment growth. And then we get above 2% as we get into 2003.
Other questions? Tom, you have on here the percentage change from the 2001 close of session, showing our general fund resources down 7.5%. Can you give us the, I know we've seen it, I think, in your graphs in the PowerPoint presentations, but how does that compare with the previous recessions of 82, 83, 91, in terms of the percentage decline?
Mr. Chair, I haven't specifically looked at those details yet. I would surmise that this is probably not as bad percentage-wise as especially the 80-82 period.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I think, a little deeper than probably 90-91.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
So that I don't have to do the math, Tom, would you give me the percentage of the March 2002 forecast? It would be less than 7.5. It would it be 6.1 or what? What percentage would that be? You just asked about the 7.5, but that reflects $863 million, and as you say, the total deficit is really $767 million.
Yes. 6.7, 6.8, I think, percent, somewhere around that range.
Other questions? Tom, just a question about our economy in relation to the national economy. It was an interesting juxtaposition of headlines in the Oregonian this morning. I think on the front page, the recession is over. And then on the business page, 8.6%, I think, was the unemployment figure in the Portland area. And then also some article about the recession impact on hotels, motels, and vacancy rates. You got the national trends, you've got our state trends. You want to comment on some of those and what we might expect to see nationally and then how fast we're going to catch up on that?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Nationally, we're starting to see business inventories have finally been almost completely decimated. And at some point, while you still have people buying things out there, they're going to have to refill the shelves. And so some level, although lower level of production, has to start back up again. And so they're saying that there's got to be some sort of inventory rebuilding that's going to be happening. And so they're seeing that as a positive aspect. And given certain other indicators, things like the Institute of Supply Management, used to be the National Association of Purchasing Managers, their index is now a tenth of a point below 50, and that's usually an indication where things are switching now to a positive growth position. Other surveys are starting to come in, and there's indications that businesses are going to start coming back. And so to try to put where the recession had bottomed out, a lot of economists now are saying it's this month, it's right now, is the bottom. But given that consumers still have been spending fairly well along the way here, even though they've reduced down their spending somewhat, and they're also still carrying a bit of debt, they may not be able to extend themselves to any great extent to cause a really big recovery or a strong, fast recovery. So the recovery will be rather slow coming out of this. Now, you relate that to Oregon. We're in a situation where the sectors that are probably going to be last coming out of this is probably going to be manufacturing. And manufacturing, especially the high tech, has been our engine of growth. And we've essentially, from the 90s, we went from riches to rags now. And it's just a consequence of the business mix that we have in this economy here. Now, businesses, especially manufacturing, they've had their profit margins have been slashed. They're trying to get those back in line. They've cut production. So as they've cut costs, once they start to see their business coming back around again, they want to make sure that business is truly back. And they're going to be reluctant to do any sort of large hiring until they feel more comfortable that things are on a positive track. So we think that they'll also see some improvement as we start to get into even the second quarter. mild improvement. But still, they're going to be very conscious of the profit margins. They may still lay off some workers in the second quarter of this year. But having said that, as we start to get to the second half of this year, well, we should start to see some hiring coming back, because we should start to see positive sales. They'll realize that they have to ramp up production, and they're going to bring back their employees. So we'll follow the U.S. economy, but just with a somewhat of a lag, I think. And it may be a little bit softer than what we may see the national economy. One of the things, by the way, the national economy is really going to be helped out by the federal government, especially in the defense budget. We'll have some small spillover here, but not to the extent that some other states might see. And the stimulus package, the additional one on top of the ones that have already passed, seem to be dead in the water with Congress. And so that is an additional stimulus that we thought we were going to have previously that now seems to be taken away.
Anything else?
No. Mr. Chair, but didn't that additional stimulus package also have a negative hit to us on revenue?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nolan, part of it did, the accelerated depreciation. Which would change then the reporting of corporate income, and we're tied into the federal definition of that. That would have been a depressing aspect on our revenues. But I think there were other types of revenue packages in there that would be offsetting to those.
Tom Paul mentioned this morning in conversation with me that the January quarterly estimated payments were down, I think, 20%, something like that. Are those numbers reflected in this forecast, or will we likely see those reflected in the June forecast?
Mr. Chair, these are, in essence, reflected in this forecast. We've got the month of January in, and especially on corporate, it is extremely difficult to hit a monthly forecast for how corporate actuals are. We do a little bit better on a quarterly basis. But even there, we've taken a look, and as Paul has indicated, those have been down. Also, on the personal income side, we've also seen a little softening for January, whereas the fourth quarter of 2001, personal income actually came out just a little ahead of our quarterly forecast. So given that we're still seeing that softness, and given what our view of the economy is, that influenced us to come out with this drop of 115.2 on the personal side, and to continue the drop on the corporate side.
Then I think we all know, too, that come April, we're likely to see lower tax payments than in previous years because of the lower capital gains through the year in 2001. Is that anticipated in this as well, then? You've tried to factor that in. We're not going to be surprised by that in June.
Yes. We're trying our best, by the way, to get a good handle on capital gains. And we've been trying some newer models to see if somehow we can get a better sense of it. What we have done, though, is based on the previous history of what we've seen in capital gains coming in, we've lowered it pretty substantially, what we think capital gains will be for this tax year.
Again, in your PowerPoint, you always have those risk factors, both to the revenue forecast and to the economy. So I guess my question would be, now we see what the March forecast is. We know that there's a June forecast coming out there. How would you address the risk factors for what we might expect to see in June?
Well, I think the main one is what will happen with the economy. If our view is too optimistic, it takes longer for businesses to ramp back up. There could be another further softening in June based on the economic cycle. We are worried about capital gains. They can be very, very volatile. They have been historically. Depending on what the stock market may do and housing appreciation values can affect that greatly. That's kind of an unknown. And then we're also cognizant of anything that may happen through the initiative process, although that's a little bit, in a sense, farther down the road. But there can be certain initiatives that could affect our revenues situation.
Okay. Members, anything else? Paul, do you want to follow up with them?
All right. Tom, thank you very much. Good to see you again. Solo this time, I guess.
Now, everyone is in the office working on finishing the forecast.
Okay. I guess there's one question I understand. This is, it's preliminary. Does that tell us that these numbers may move a little bit between now?
No. No, these numbers are the numbers we will have in the publication.
So what will be coming out is just the detail and the narrative. Okay.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Tom, very much.
Thank you.
I might add, Mr. Chair, that just in terms of thinking about the special session, as you look at the size of the gap you've heard and been working toward closing, was estimated at $704 million. Prior to today, that would include lottery changes and some small administrative changes. Does not include the rebalance part that the E-Board has gone through on the DHS and corrections budget. But if you add Tom's new numbers into that, that means that gap that you're looking to close is $846 million. So the $846 would replace the $704. In terms of what's necessary to rebalance back to the closing session, that would include a $96 million ending balance in the general fund.
Senator Peden.
Mr. Chairman, before you leave this subject, may I make a few comments?
Please.
Mr. Chairman, it's not possible for me to say I told you so because I haven't served with any of you prior to this session, but having been here for many years, I will say I told them so. I told your predecessors so. When we put requirements and restrictions and mandates on agriculture and forestry, Mr. Chairman, when we eliminated smoke from field burning at a huge cost to agriculture, when we fenced stock out of our watersheds at a huge cost to ranchers, when we eliminated harvesting of our federal timber, going from 9 billion board feet harvest in 1971 to less than $400 million more recently, a huge cost. Mr. Chairman, what we are wrestling with today here is an environmental tax. Because of the environmental restrictions that we have placed on our natural resource industries, we have to come up with the money that they can no longer produce with us. Mr. Chairman, money that used to flow into schools and roads and law enforcement is not there any longer. And so we wrestle with replacing it with things like increasing gambling in the state of Oregon. Mr. Chairman, rather than cutting timber, we are going to raise taxes and revenue by gambling. And I am incensed, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. I think it is telling that in the last recession, I think one of the issues was that, or at least certainly back in the 80s, that we had an economy that was too dependent on natural resource industries and wasn't diversified. And so we went to diversification, only we left behind the natural resource industries, and we have ended up concentrating the economy now in another sector that volatile and subject to recessionary influences. So I think we're not so much diversified as we just move from one unicycle to another. Any other comments? All right. We're ahead of schedule here, and it would suit me to kind of collapse our agenda here and try and conclude earlier today than later. Paul, how difficult would it be to go to the review of the special session revenue package and maybe try and get that done in 20 minutes or so, and then we can hear from the treasurer after our break?
That'd be no problem.
Okay, let's go.
And that's my area, so I was just going to walk through with you the summary packet that we put together after we were somewhat groggy when we did this after the special session, but we wanted to make sure that the numbers fitted and went back to the bills. Now, of course, the governor has vetoed some elements of this package, but the main components of it, of the revenue piece anyway, remain in place. So, and I can talk about that in terms of what components are still in and what what might need to be changed in the coming special session. I'm just going to go down the list that's on that research brief that you should have in front of you there on the components, and then answer any questions that you may have about the particular bills. Of course, the largest revenue piece in the package was the Education Stability Fund, which took the current Education Endowment Fund, renames it the Stability Fund, and makes it an ongoing a stabilization fund for public schools, for public education, I should say. The revenue impact of that for 0103 is $120 million. What that measure does is set up some triggers which will come into play and which would be into play right now, given the particularly the employment numbers. So one of the triggers is two consecutive quarters of declining employment. We now have three quarters in a row of declining employment going back to the second quarter of 2001. But the measure calls for withdrawing $120 million from the fund at the end of this biennium in May of 2003, and that would go directly into the state school fund as part of the May 15th payment to schools. That measure, of course, is changing the constitutional nature of the endowment fund, which means that it would require a constitutional change. We'd have to go to the people. As you recall, also House Bill 4012 was set up in case the SGR 50 was rejected. The governor vetoed that bill, so that's no longer in play. One thing that that may be worth mentioning in terms of the stabilization fund is that the House Bill 4012, the Common School Fund bill, did contain language in it that committed a proportion, 25% of revenue above the December forecast into the rainy day fund if actuals turned out to be higher than December. That is gone with the veto, so that's no longer part of the rainy day fund. The other elements there, the Medicaid upper payment limit account of $119 million. This account now, the unallocated balance is estimated at $131 million. So there's still $12 million that's unallocated of the estimate currently. The tobacco settlement in House Bill 5070, $50 million was of the $82 million estimated to go to the health care trust fund. The governor has vetoed that bill and has said that he is not supportive of using tobacco settlement revenue. So that's that element is not part of the consensus numbers that the governor released earlier this week. The other component, senior deferral balance, is an administrative change from the senior deferral program. The chair and Representative Williams spoke with the Revenue Department. They felt that they were comfortable with the $15 million. There is always a risk, the lower that balance goes down, is that the general fund is committed to paying the counties for those senior and disabled deferrals. So that becomes the risk if that account is drawn down too far. But given the trends that we looked at, Elizabeth spent a lot of time looking at that, we feel the $15 million will not require any general fund draws for repaying the counties. The 911 balance on House Bill 4020, which transfers the emergency communication accounts. There's a series of accounts and sub-accounts that transferred $14 million from those accounts into the general fund. The governor expressed some concern about that, that the 14 was too high, that the number should be perhaps reduced, and that's being worked on now as part of the special session package to come down from the $14 million. The income tax collections process, you recall there was a lot of discussion about a tax amnesty, and we had lengthy discussions with the Department of Revenue. Department of Revenue sent a letter to the co-chairs and to Senator Ferrioli describing their concerns about an amnesty program and whether and the potential impact they would have on some of their other programs. So the decision was that they felt it was more efficient to raise 12.4 million through moving their resources and personnel into the collections process. The Revenue Department Director emphasized that this is a one-time gain and not something that should be thought of as ongoing revenue beyond 0103, as those resources will be moved back to work more on auditing and longer-term activities. The other smaller components contained in the plan, there were federal funds shift, which would shift federal funds from Measure 66 dollars for salmon. $5 million was contained in the big budget reconciliation bill, Senate Bill 5574. That bill was vetoed, and the governor has expressed concerns about using that $5 million. So that is not in his consensus summation of revenue. The other smaller components largely are in the governor's consensus numbers. The one that isn't kind of interesting is the Sunday OLCC sales, which is we have estimated at $3 million, and frankly, we don't have a lot of firm evidence to estimate that on. It's based on the assumption there'll be increased availability, and therefore sales will rise, primarily because Sunday is tends to be a higher shopping day, particularly in areas that rely on tourism. But basically, OLCC feels that number may be a little high, and that they don't see evidence of increases. So the $3 million is an estimate, and that was actually, that number was not included in the governor's consensus numbers, although there isn't the governor's not vetoed the bill. One thing to keep in mind also about the bill is that it is permissive in the sense that it allows Sunday sales, also allows holiday sales. Well, those are the two things that are prohibited in current law, so it changes that statute. And the way the bill is constructed, it takes that $3 million and anything above the current forecast, which could be for any reason, anything above the forecast of up to $3 million will go directly in the general fund, will not go through the current distribution formula, in which 56% goes to the general fund. And then once you get above $3 million, then it would go back to the 56% and the rest to cities and counties. The other elements there are relatively small elements and generally are in the consensus estimate that the governor released. So your total revenue package is $353.5 million, which worked out to pretty close to half, almost exactly half of the $704 million gap. But of course, now you're looking at a gap, a comparable gap of $846 million. As you look ahead to the special session.
Okay. Any questions for Paul on the revenue package?
Mr. Chair, I guess I have one question.
Yeah.
On the Education Stability Fund, what are the pulls on the money that will go into this fund now? Where does that leave the scholarship money and the bond payments?
Representative Hass, currently the interest from the fund is committed in statute, and 75% of it goes to paying off the school lottery bonds, which you approved in 97 and 99. And the other 25% goes to the scholarship commission. So if you look at the estimated earnings right now, it's about 15.1 million off the fund for the 0103 biennium. 11.3 of that would go to the retire the debt service on the lottery bonds. But the debt service on the lottery backed bonds is about $30 million a year. 60 for the biennium. So right now it's covering 11 of the 60. So the other $49 million on debt service is coming from undedicated lottery. So they are lottery-backed bonds, so it's the general lottery that's paying for it. And the Scholarship Commission is $3.8 million is the estimate
their share of the allocation of earnings. Now, the way that SGR 50 works is the transfer of $120 million would occur on May 1st of 2003. So it would be part of the May 15 school payment. So there would be some marginal reduction in interest earnings from the last couple of months of the buy-in, but it would be relatively small. Most of those earnings would continue to flow through. The policy issue for you is really an 03 issue, is how do you want the earnings of that fund, do you want to change the way those are allocated in light of if the voters approve this being a stability fund? And then you've got some different issues there to look at. One would be, do you want the earnings to go back in the fund, to grow the fund, or do you want to continue to allocate them as they are now? Under current law, if you don't take any action, they'll continue to be allocated 75% on bonds and 25% on scholarship commission. But the effect in 03-05 will be that your earnings won't grow as they would have under current law. You won't have as much to allocate.
So voters pass this, if it gets on the ballot and voters pass this, then what happens to this fund in the next biennium? Then we may need, how does this rainy day, we'll have these triggers, but you're saying we should change the obligation?
Well, I'm not saying necessarily you should change the obligation. I'm saying that would be, the package itself is it's a constitutional change, and there should be some statutory language around that in terms of how the fund is managed, and that would be for the 03 session, and that's something you may want to review at that time, given that the fund would have a different nature. But there would be no requirement or current law to change those allocations at all. They could remain as is. The effect would be, though, instead of going into 03-05 with a $272 million beginning balance, as you are now projected to under current law, you would be going in with a $152 million balance after the $120 transfer. Therefore, the earnings you would generate would be pretty close to what you've generated in 0103. They wouldn't grow as they're projected to grow under current law. They're basically expected to double in 03-05. Under current law. And if you use the 120, then of course that wouldn't happen because you don't have the principal to generate the earnings.
I think so. The constitutional piece of this is silent as to the use of the earnings on this fund. That's a statutory decision. It currently then dedicates it to any of these lottery-backed bonds and scholarship. Again, the constitutional referral doesn't change that. That would be an issue that we would revisit in the implementing legislation, either to continue that or to provide for some reinvestment of all or a part of the earnings within the fund itself to increase the fund, in which case then it would be those unallocated lottery funds that would go to pay the difference on those bonds and any scholarship obligations. Okay.
Any other questions? All right. Well, that takes us to our break. Let me look ahead just on the calendar here. Let's see if we can get the treasurer in at maybe getting in at 10:15.
He was scheduled to be here at 10:15.
Okay, we'll have the treasurer in at 10:15. Do we have folks coming in from outside of the building for any of the rest of this? How about the implications of the urban renewal decision? Anyone coming in?
We do have some folks from Portland. Coming down, City of Portland and Aurora coming down for the urban renewal discussion. On housing fund reserves, Jack Kenny will be here to talk about that. And the school revenue update, that's Steve and Nancy Hyland.
Okay. All right. Well, we will take a break until 10:15. We'll have the treasurer with us back then, so we'll try to be prompt.